You can remain standing. I only got a couple of verses to read here in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, if you'll turn there with me. Luke chapter 15. And I've titled this message, "The Greatest Message the Pharisees Ever Preached." The original title of the message was Lost But Found. And I was going to go over this parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. But as I was reading and studying, I noticed this phrase in verse number 2. That the Pharisees said, and I said, man, that is the greatest message the Pharisees ever preached. And so we look at verse number 1. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And as I read that passage, they murmured it. But I thought, yes, he does. He receives sinners and eateth with them. Let's open with a word of prayer and we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, we thank you that you receive sinners. And then you eat with them. Lord, you fellowship with us. Lord, and though the Pharisees and the scribes meant it in their murmuring to complain about who you were and what you did, Lord, we are so thankful for it, that you do receive sinners. Lord, I pray that you'll be with this message, Lord, that you'll let me step out of the way and you just do a work. It's not about Noah Ketchum. It's about the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you will do a work here in this place this morning. We love you so much, and we ask all this in your precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. We have the story of the shepherd that left the 99 to go to the one. We'll get into that. We have the story of the lost coin and how she lit the candle and she searched diligently all over the house until she found it. And then we have the story of the prodigal son who asked for his inheritance and he left home with his inheritance and he blew it all. And he came home. All three of these stories. Now the Bible says that it's one parable. It says, "And he spake this parable unto them," saying, oftentimes split it into three parables, but it's one parable. Well, why would Jesus give these three different parts of one parable? I believe that he was speaking to each person there. The publicans, man, a lost coin would resonate with them. They were tax collectors. They were thieves, and the Pharisees were always threw the publicans in with the sinners because the publicans were Jewish tax collectors that worked for the Roman government. and so not only did the Pharisees see them as thieves, taking their taxes and sometimes charging a little extra to pocket some of it, but they also saw them as traitors, that they had turned against the Jewish people and for the love of money worked for the Roman government. And so we see that lost coin resonates probably with the publicans there. The lost sheep, probably many of those sinners, a lot of the profession back then was shepherds. Jesus knew that there were some shepherds in that crowd, and the lost sheep would resonate with them. But then there comes the lost son, and that resonates with a lot of people, but it's the son that we always forget to talk about, the older son, that I think resonated with the Pharisees and the scribes. The older son, if you look in verse number 27, it said, "And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he," the older son, "was angry and would not go in." Now that's interesting. But notice, remember when the younger son came home and the father saw him afar off and he ran to him? Well, the older son wouldn't go in. And then it says, "Therefore came his father out and entreated him." What grace of the father even there? And it said, he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid even." He said, you didn't even kill a goat for me, and you killed a fatted calf for this wayward son, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." There those that remain faithful, those the second generation Christians that never really experienced the world, they have their reward when they remain faithful. He said, "All that I have is thine. You get the rest of the inheritance." And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother. Notice the relation that he gives. This thy brother was dead and is alive again. You know, we oftentimes talk about the prodigal son as someone that leaves the faith and returns. But I don't believe the prodigal son was ever saved. And we'll get into that in a little bit, but I believe, because it says he was dead and is alive again. He was dead in his sin, and he was made alive in Christ, and was lost and is found. In context, the prodigal son, I believe, is the lost world. And the Pharisees are the older son. The Pharisees, the ones that say, I've been keeping your commandments since I was a youth. I've been, even the rich young ruler, from my youth I kept thy commandments. And that's the Pharisees. That was them. They took their time to study the law and to obey it. And so he said, "From thy commandments, I've kept thy commandments, and I haven't transgressed at all. And you didn't even give me a kid." And so he says, "But your brother that was dead and is alive again, and was lost and now is found, is come. We ought to be merry about that." But you're over here griping and complaining about the publicans and sinners who drew near to hear me, to hear my message. You're griping and complaining about them when you should be excited that they've joined the faith. And so I believe this older brother, Jesus brought him into the parable because it resonated with the Pharisees and the scribes. But the reason I say that because in context they're talking about publicans and sinners, I believe that the prodigal son was a sinner. I believe that he was a lost soul. I don't believe he was someone that left the faith, because nowhere else in that passage is it talking about people that leave the faith. It's talking about those who are lost. And now I do see three similarities in all parts of this parable. Number one, all of them were lost. Number two, all of them were sought after. And number three, all of them were found. But with the three similarities, there were three differences. How they were lost. I was driving home from the racetrack last night. I went up and sang the national anthem for the La Crosse Speedway, and they must be desperate. So they put something on Facebook, and I said I'd be willing to help you out there. And so they asked me to come last night, and so on my way back, I'm listening to this passage just over on repeat. And I was thinking, in light of the gospel, and why would Jesus give these three parts to one parable? And I noticed three differences. One was how they were lost. The sheep wandered away in its ignorance. Didn't know the truth, never heard the truth, and was lost. The coin fell away in its helplessness. It had a fallen state. It had a lost state, but it didn't understand the gravity of it being lost. A coin's an inanimate object. But the son willingly walked away after knowing the truth. And I don't believe that the son necessarily would be likened to somebody that grows up in church and leaves the faith and then comes back. I believe it's somebody that heard the gospel in general. Somebody that understood the gospel but chose to reject it. And so we have these three different ways that they were lost. how they were lost, but then also we see a difference in how they were sought after. The sheep, he left the 99 to go to the one. And when he found that one, he was rescued. He left the others and went after him. And then the coin, it says that they lit a light and she searched diligently until she found it. There was a diligent searching with light. But then notice how the father sought after his son. He knew that he left. He knew that he rejected the family. He knew that he just thought it wasn't worth it to stick around. But he didn't chase after him. He sat there and watched afar off and waited for him to come to his own. I believe that the prodigal son is those that have been given over to reprobate mind, that God has just said, you know, you're so far in your sin, you've lost the remorse, you've lost the shame of your sin. I'm just going to sit back and wait for you to return to me. I don't believe that somebody given over to reprobate mind is beyond receiving the gospel. There are some preachers that preach that. There are some preachers that say, you can't get saved if you're a homosexual. Because you've been given over to reprobate mind, God's given up on you. I don't believe that's the Bible at all. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's including those given over to reprobate minds. But I do believe that God doesn't search as diligently. He lets them go in their sin and waits for them to come to themselves as the prodigal son did and return to Him. And he's waiting afar off. And when he sees them draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to them and he runs after them, falls on them, embraces them, and is rejoicing just as much as if the wandering sheep that didn't know any better. Just as much as the coin that fell away that heard the gospel but didn't understand it. He was receiving them just as much. We see how a difference in how they were lost. We see a difference in how they were sought after. But we also see a difference in how they were found. The sheep was carried almost as if it was injured or needed to be rescued. And it was carried back to the fold. And the coin was picked up. And then the son as he drew nigh, came to himself. God drew nigh. The father drew nigh and embraced him. So we had one that was carried and one that was embraced and welcome in arms. But all of them, after they were found, there was a celebration. There was rejoicing. So the Pharisees, in their murmuring, brought a great truth. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And Jesus just finished the sermon for them. He says, yeah. I got one parable for you, three parts, and for all you different people, each part is going to speak to a different person. So what does God think about sinners? Number one, He grieves over their going. All of us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The fall of man, we talk about the fall of the coin, how the coin fell and was lost. The fall of man in the garden and how Adam and Eve fell from God. He grieves over their going. There was a grief there and God even said they had become one of us, knowing good and evil. But you can't tell me that He didn't grieve over their going. We often think that God's just ready to strike us dead when we step out of line. But God grieves over our going. And if there was joy in their returning, there had to be a lamentation in their leaving. He seeks for their salvation. So number one, He grieves over their going. Number two, and I know it's going to sound like I'm going real fast, but there's three parts to this message, just like there's three parts to the parable. Number two, what does God think about sinners? He grieves over their going, but number two, He seeks for their salvation. Turn over to Luke 19. Luke chapter 19. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans." Well, we just talked about publicans in the parable we were just studying. And he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Same with me. So, I was joking with the teens this morning because when Brother Barry and Matthew installed the AC unit, it came with a little remote that I could control from my desk. And Amanda said, "Laziness at its finest." I said, "I'm too short to reach the buttons anyway, so I don't want to have to call Lucas every time I need to change the settings on my AC unit." But I'm short, so I resonate with Zacchaeus here. So. But it says in verse number 4, "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus." Notice he didn't even have to introduce himself. Jesus knew his name. "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Man, come down. That sounds like receiving a sinner to me. Abiding at thy house. That sounds like eating with him. "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." He said, I'll give everything back that I took dishonestly, and I'll give it back to them with interest. Fourfold. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He seeks for their salvation. He wasn't content with just the 99. He had to go after that one. He wasn't content with just the 9 pieces of gold. He had to find that one. He's not content with he's not content with just the ones that he's already received, all the ones that are already in the fold and safe. He wants more. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he's not content with the ones he has. He wants the entire world to come to him. So you can't tell me that he's content with the reprobates just being reprobates. He wants that one. Not content with just the Jews, he wanted the Gentiles too. Not willing that any should perish. In Romans chapter 11, if you turn there with me, it talks about how he made the Jews jealous, just like the elder son was jealous. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, we'll start in verse 11. Romans 11, verse 11, it says, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness." I hear these Gentile preachers that will preach and say God's given the Jews over to reprobate minds, and they've fallen off so that we could be, this is replacement theology, so that we could be given salvation. But that's not the case. We've been added to the promise of the Jews. And he says, how much more the Gentiles should be rejoicing over the fullness of a Jew returning to Christ. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. So he said, I'm gonna use the Gentiles and the Jews' jealousy of the Gentiles to provoke them to salvation. And so God's not even just content with just the Gentiles and replacement theology. I think that's as Brother Lloyd would say, it's a bunch of hogwash. That the Gentiles replace the Jews, and that the church replaces the Jew, that it replaces Israel. That's a bunch of hogwash. And what it is that God is using the Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy, that He may win another Jew back to Him. The Pharisees and scribes in this account were the Pharisees were the Jewish elites. They were the Jewish the ones that studied the law and obeyed it. And the publicans were the Jewish traitors, the ones that had left. And I believe that prodigal son part of the parable was speaking to the Pharisees, but saying, "Your brother, the publicans, they may have betrayed you. But when they come back, we ought to welcome them with open arms. Because they still drew near for to hear me, to hear my message, to hear the truth." So the Pharisees and the scribes in this account are the older brothers, and they were as Romans 11 describes, they were made jealous of the sinners and the publicans. So number one, he grieves over their going. Number two, he seeks for their salvation. And number three, he rejoices over their return. He rejoices, and then he calls all of heaven to rejoice with him. We see in our text there, and we see so many times it says lost and found and lost and found. But then it says, come rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost, in verse number 9. And then verse number 10, it says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And we see that several times. We even see in verse 7, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 32, he says, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. So we meet and make merry and be glad, and we see we see the father sending his servants to bring the fatted calf and things, for because he wants to rejoice with them. There's a rejoicing over their return. And Jesus says, just as they called all their friends and things to rejoice with them, all of heaven is rejoicing together over the return of a sinner. Because this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You can't... We see that the son, he's in the hog pen, and he's so hungry that he wants what the hogs are eating. He'd eat the slop if he could. But then he even says that no man let him. No man gave unto him. He feigned his belly with what the swine was eating. And he comes home and probably smells like the pigs. You can't dwell with the pigs and smell like a rose. At camp we used to sing a song, "You can't run with the skunks and smell like a rose." And I asked the teens if any of them had ever heard that song before. None of them have, so I looked a little foolish. But it's the same is true. You can't live in the same pen as the pigs and smell all honky dory. But yet this father ran to his son, not caring about where he's been. And he embraced his son, not acknowledging the filth. And he kissed the neck of his son, not worrying about the smell. He didn't have to get cleaned up first to be welcomed into the house. The father, we see in verse 27, it says, and he said unto him, thy brother is, or sorry, not verse 27, let me see, I wrote down the wrong verse. Oh, Luke chapter 5, verse 27, sorry, Luke chapter 5. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 5. Verse 27, it says, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, why the disciples of John fast often and make prayer, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink. So now they're saying, well, we give ourselves over to fasting and prayer, but you're over here filling your bellies, claiming it's the work of the ministry. And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. He's saying there's a new covenant now. Not the law, and you can't mix the two together. The new covenant is paid by the blood of Christ. But he says that they that are whole need not a physician. But they that are sick. You don't go to the doctor when you're feeling good. You go to the doctor because something's wrong. And my pastor always said the church is like a hospital. People don't come here because they feel good about themselves. They come here because they need help. And that's how a church ought to be. We're not here to shame those that come in with the ailment of sin. And he says, and I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He brought him in. He received him, as we talked about. Christ received the sinner. The Father brought the Son in. He got him a change of clothes, God's robes of righteousness. He was made sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. We got a new change of clothes, and he cleaned him up, and that's the process of sanctification. And then he fed him. Fellowship. Nurturing him. Giving him spiritual growth. He received him. Smell and all. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. What does God think about sinners? He grieves over their going. He seeks for their salvation, and he rejoices over their return. But what does God think about sinners? He loves them. He receives them, and he desires to fellowship with them once more. He eateth with them. He desires to fellowship with them. I want to close with this. With this question. Examine yourself. Who are you most like in this story? Jesus, receiving the sinners, carrying them safely back to the fold, welcoming them with open arms, smell and all, not caring where they've been, what they look like, what they smell like. Are you like the Pharisees, the self-righteous accusers that are annoyed that someone that smells like the pigs would return to the fold? We got some Christians that are almost excited for Judgment Day. Oh, they'll get what's coming to them. Are we like the Pharisees? Or maybe someone in this room is like the sinners, lost and in need of a seeking shepherd. I believe those are the three people groups in this room. The ones that are receiving the sinners, the Pharisees that are the self-righteous accusers, and then the sinner that's lost in need of a seeking shepherd that's going to receive them and eat with them. The best soul-winning churches love and receive sinners for who they are, where they are. The best soul-winning churches, I hope that's Bethlehem Baptist Church. I hope we're not like the Pharisees. The best soul-winning churches love and receive sinners for who they are, where they are. Smell and all. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Greatest message the Pharisees ever preached. Man, it spoke to my heart. If we want to be more like Christ, we need not just preach to the sinners, but we need to receive them when they come. Smell and all. Let's close in a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation. Dear Lord, I thank you that you receive sinners. Lord, I pray that we're not like the Pharisees, self-righteous accusers. It can be an easy thing to fall into, especially with second-generation Christians who never experienced the world. But Lord, help us to receive them, smell and all. To love them and receive them where they are, for who they are. Then, Lord, disciple them and love them enough not to leave them where they are. The man at the pool of Bethesda needed someone to carry him there. Lord, help us to be like Christ, who receives sinners and eateth with them. There's times that we think separation from the world is not associating with them, but Lord, how are we going to reach them? You ate with them, Lord, and you received them when they came near to hear you. And Lord, I pray that Bethlehem Baptist Church will grab a hold of that spirit and that we would rejoice when one comes to know you. Lord, if there's someone under the sound of my voice that does not know you, that is lost and in need of a seeking shepherd, I pray that they would find their way home to the fold today. As we sang a moment ago, part of the family of God, I pray that they would be able to sing that from their hearts next week. Lord, also as we sang, though millions have come, there's still room for just one. Lord, you're not content with the 99. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I pray that if someone does not know for 100% sure they're on their way to heaven this morning, that they would get that right and understand that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Lord, I thank you that in their murmuring, they preached a great message that spoke to my heart, Lord, and I pray that it spoke to someone's heart this morning. Lord, we pray that you'll bless this time of invitation in your precious holy name. Amen.